AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. However, people all over the USA tune in simply by going to their internet site and go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And as you know, we send out a rebroadcast of the show later in the day today, and I ask that you all send that off to family members and friends so that our list of people will continue to grow. I'm very pleased to tell you that we have a special guest today joining us, and our panel members are all here. Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, national small business advocate, and of course, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration and the Rich Logis Show, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, and always happy to be with you. I also have special greetings to you and yours from Curtis Ellis, who is out promoting the America First Project. Well, last week our guest was Beth Allen, the author of Flush the Fears. And of course, she's a teacher there at Bucks County Community College. And you can see more about Beth Allen on her internet site by going to DIY, which stands for Do It Yourself, and then HIP, H-I-P, stands for Home Improvement Projects, and then CHICS means she's promoting the do-it-yourself classes for women there at the Bucks County Community College. It was really good to hear from her, got a lot of very positive comments, and you can hear a rebroadcast of last week's show, Wednesday, April the 18th show, by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Beth will be back with us again in the future, and I remain in contact with her. She really is a very special person. Before I go to our panel, I just want to give you a brief update of what has been happening in the world of job opportunities here in the United States of America. During the last 12 months, we've had a historic pro-growth in private sector businesses right here in the USA. Number two, there has been a major capital spending spree from private sector businesses. Businesses are adding new product lines, and they're doing it here in America, training the people on the job because not that many people were available to them at the time. And there are over 22,000 brand new, not recycled, not replacing people that retired, but brand new manufacturing jobs that were added last month alone, March 18, 2018. The new business tax cuts and less regulations have certainly been helping to bring the spur in jobs. However, the ability to attract new talent, skilled workers to replace those retiring or for the new product line has really been a major problem. And the lack of hands-on and hands-ready-to-go work applicants has not really been very good for the new wave of jobs that are taking place in America right now. And we see a lot of changes in the marketplace. And I think that one of the things we're going to continue to address is what is the market value to keep an American employed? We have to look from within America for employees, not use the excuse that we have to bring people over from foreign countries because we don't have enough qualified workers here in America for our industries and also for the fields. I mean, there's a lot to be done. We have to look at the fair market value. What is the market value to keep an American employed? We'll be talking about that, but first, I'm going to turn to Larkin Conley because he's going to introduce our special guest today, and he has a lot of information to share with us. Larkin,
Thanks, Michael. Good morning to our audience, Rich Henry and Mark, who will be involved in this interview. Good morning to you all. Those were some extremely interesting numbers, Michael, and very encouraging. I learned at a very young age the difference between being a dreamer and being a doer. And when I was confronted by a doer recently, my best example of a doer would be like a Mark Andel or a Patrice Banks. Those are our best examples. I'm amazed at what and how and certainly why these doers do what they do. They're innovators, they're entrepreneurs, they're people who have visions, and they make them come true. They make stuff happen, and it always amazes me. With that, I'd like to introduce our to our panel and to our audience a person who I would consider a consummate doer. Sherman McLeod, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Larkin. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you, my friend, and I can call you a friend. About a month ago, a mutual friend of ours told me about Sherman and his organization, Philadelphia Technician Training Institute, and in one single two-week period, Sherman, in production conversations with both Mark and myself, allowed us to single-handedly together break the wow factor. I think Mark yesterday said wow 17 times inside 1 minute. and it takes an awful lot to get the wow factor from a fellow doer, but congratulations, Sherman, you did that. So before we get into Philadelphia Technician Training Institute, tell me something. Are you a Philly native? Are you a Philly boy?
Yes, I am. I'm a North Philly boy, and I spent a lot of time in Philadelphia coming up as a kid in the city of brotherly love. And it's a place that I, even after I graduated from college, I came back here wanting to share my skills with the city.
What, high school? Which high school did you graduate from?
I graduated from Drexel University in 1982 as a mechanical engineer, specializing in controls, high-speed, ultra-high-speed equipment controls and design, machine design.
Amazing. So you must have had somewhat of a glamorous background, a work background. Can you detail that a little?
You know, this is very interesting, Mark. That's a good question. I had my background, the minute I got out of college, I had an opportunity to go to work for Fortune 500 companies and then wind up within a Fortune 10 company, which was Johnson & Johnson Medical. But I became a process engineer, and I did a lot of heavy equipment process engineering in the tire industry. Then I went on to a company called Smith & Nephew Medical, less known in this country, but based out of England, where I was became an engineering manager. And then I wound up in Johnson & Johnson Medical, at the mid-level, director level in equipment design and also business reengineering, and that's a word we use for reorganizing and restructuring companies to save money based on the current processes and technologies.
Amazing, and it's an amazing background, very, very well traveled. So with all of this background, all of this intelligentsia, all of this experience, where did Philadelphia Technician Training Institute come from?
Well, you know, early on in my career, I noticed that as we were re-engineering, restructure, and make things more automated, and we were reducing our workforces based upon people retiring, based upon attrition, et cetera, that we wanted to get more people with technical knowledge. And you talk about being built in America. Everything we did was taking production from other countries that and markets from other countries that were doing high manual processes. And there was a theory going on in this country for many years that people in America would not be as productive. Well, not only were we 10, 15 times more productive than the manual processes, we had quality standards that could not be met by manual operations. So one of the things that we quickly did was understood how the technical talent that was necessary in this country to be able to, harness in a way that met market demands and the shift in market demands when new products would come online, new systems would come online in order to produce the kind of goods and services that we became dominant players in the market. And I can tell you, Johnson & Johnson became a dominant player in this market. I worked out of the suture division, and they had nearly 80% of the world market when I left.
Wow. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing is PTTI evolved out of your desire to create talent or
yes.
to take advantage of talent that was capable of meeting today's technical standards.
Yeah, that's correct. So one of the things that really amazed me is that the inner city, the poor and the people in deep poverty, never really get a chance to learn the skills, trade skills. And this has been going, the erosion has been occurring since the war, the last World War. And consequently now you have people in the inner cities, they can't even compete because they don't have a knowledge base, they don't have schools or operations that are reaching out to them. And I thought, wow, this is a market unto itself. What a broad market to be able to have a God-given right to not just 80%, but 100% of the marketplace. So what we did was we started to work under some contracts with some of the government agencies of the city. And, you know, those contracts, they ran out, and we decided to take our business into a format of a formal school. We have our PA private license through the state of Pennsylvania. Then we got accredited through Middle States. Middle States is the same accreditation agency that accredits Drexel, MIT, Harvard, all the big schools. And they really liked our program when we had a meeting with them just over, we had that meeting over 8 years ago with them. And so then we got funded by the federal government through Title IV, which is the same access to funding that all the big schools have. For example, through FAFSA, and you can go online and find us under the FAFSA system. And we have our growth has been like exponential ever since. We will educate in the heavy trade skills of welding, also advanced manufacturing, which deals with a lot of heavy electrical systems and processes, and automotive technology, which actually transcends many industries, all industries across the country. And with that, we have been enjoying growth. We've already educated well over 1,000 people now since we've been open. And we're this year alone, we'll do another 800 people moving forward. So we're looking at a lot of growth, building a 350,000 square foot facility on the property that we just purchased only a couple years ago. This building is 47,000 square feet, and we're going to build on an additional 350,000 square feet where we'll be able to educate up to 4,500 people a year. And talk about being able to deploy people all around this country right straight out of poverty within the six-month period of time. And that's about the average time in the industry. It actually is a little bit lower in the industry in terms of time to educate and train people in certain high-speed, very delicate scalpel, what we call scalpel skill processes. and we have 6 months. So it's always in the industry, faster, better, and cheaper, and being able to be more robust and the highest quality. And that's what we do.
So we, as I said a little earlier, we were introduced by a mutual friend, Joe Howard, and I got pretty excited. I tried not to jump out of my skin while I was talking to you. very shortly thereafter, altruism like this makes me cry, and it does. And I'm a big old fat Irishman who, you know, cries at the drop of a hat anyway. But I called up Mark Andrew and I said, Mark, I solved you. You don't need to look for any more welders. I solved your problem. And he said to me, Morgan, it's way too early to be drinking. What's going on? And I told him, and I'm going to tell you, the two of us got so excited. It was amazing. So we've got this institute, PTT, more fully called PTTI, and it trains in three technical categories, which is automotive, welding, and manufacturing.
Exactly.
Three huge categories. But when you think to yourself, what's the difference between this initiative and many others? The difference really is, without giving you a big head, is you.
Who's
got that educational background, who's been out in the public sector, in the private sector, excuse me, and has learned what the needs are, and while I applaud any institute, the many that are in Philadelphia that do what they do, you really have brought that need for technical training down to its lowest common denominator. And with that, I'd like to turn it over. I don't know which end of a welder gun to hold. They are guns, mm-hmm. aren't they? I don't know which end of it to hold, but I know somebody who is very excited about what you do and truly, truly wants to talk about the technical side of what you're doing. Yep. Mark?
Excellent. Well, welcome, Sherman. Larkin, again, I was so excited when you called, and I know you called my Sue first, and I said, what's Larkin up to? And Sherman, we've had a couple talks, and Mike and Rich, this guy is us, same fabric, loves America, loves people, wants to help, great heart. Sherman, welcome to the show again. You are part of the family now, like it or not.
Well, thank you. I love
family.
It.
You're everything. You're from the same fabric we are. Talking about skilled trades, I've been on the show probably almost 5 years now. We don't really count, but we talk a lot about the skilled trades, as I mentioned to you. I'm a welder by trade, and Mr. Fix-It. And Sherman, I just want to talk. You've got the background. You've got the heart. You've got a full city block, I believe you told me, of this manufacturing facility
right.
with 150 welder-weld stations. Teach MIG, TIG, and STIC, but the way you do it, I want you to explain to the listeners, because you start with virtual reality, you let into TIP TIG, which I didn't know anybody knows much about, mm-hmm. and you've got two of the machines, and Stretch TIG, and just tell the listeners and our panel, how you take this guy off the street, maybe lower income, somebody, you're going to teach him a skill for life, and you're going to place him anywhere in the country, and you can cater to my specific needs.
Yes, and let me just say thank you for the recognition on that. And, we have, Mark, been really under this hood, believing in the American family and how that needs to be the centerpiece of what we're doing to help people get trade skills. Because people are hurting out there, particularly in the inner city. There's a lot of devastation with poverty. Philadelphia is still in the top three deep poverty cities in an entire nation, and that shouldn't be, I think we're at the cusp of a opportunity to show like you gentlemen what can be done in terms of catering to this marketplace and being able to anticipate the supply chain cycles out there that for businesses being able to ramp up production and enjoy a strong middle class opportunity in the markets, and with that, we teach people the various types of technology. We take them from virtual reality, and actually we designed our own virtual reality system that we just submitted a patent 2 days ago to the U.S. Patent Office. We'll be reaching out to other business communities with this and all across the nation and schools to be able to teach welding and fabrication, math, as well as layouts, and to build assemblies and sub-assemblies like you would in a real-world environment. And we take them a few days through that, along with safety, and we show them the techniques of welding as with the quality aspects, AWS specifications of welding, and make sure they understand that. And then we give them lectures during the first week. In addition, we take them into our large room, a layout room, where they'll be able to lay out components and parts that they could see in 3D. Because, you know, as you know, it's, the challenge is to make sure that people have enough modeling that they can conceptualize 3D parts, and they really grasp it rather quickly. And then afterwards, being able to take them down to welding shop, and at the transition of each welding process, they come back to our virtual reality so they can, let's say, once they pass their MIG certification, flux core certifications, then we bring them back to do stick welding simulation so that they get the hang of it over the next few days of that. And then we take them back out in the shop, and they really go through stick welding rather at a good clip because they are not having to waste a lot of material. And they really get the point of how to hold that welding rod into, you know, into two pieces that they're joining together, namely steel. And then once we take them through that, we take them through the TIG process, which they'll come back into the virtual reality, understanding how to hold a rod while they're in one hand while being able to weld with the other one. And TIG is a process that's highly used in this country for medical grade, food grade, as well as other applications in the medical field, et cetera, that would allow them to enjoy going out into the field and making very, very good money in a career that has not only the kind of dollars that they can command, and on average that's about $45,000 a year, but they also have benefits, vacation pay, and many of our students go out and they get bonuses just by signing up for companies. So with that, the package is usually, if you roll everything up for the students that are going out there, it's probably about a $65,000 package with fringe benefits. It's an absolutely fabulous thing for our students. Nobody thought we would be able to do this. The one thing that I can say with people that are coming in our demographics, you know, we provide them food for breakfast and lunch. Because you figure if people coming out of deep poverty, Mark, they ain't got a whole lot to work with. Right. We give them trash passes to get on the buses and the trains to get here. That's all part of the education. And the students, they actually pay for it out of their financial aid, which most of the money that they're paying is through grants, so they don't even have to pay it back. They can pay, they leave out of our school paying back approximately $8,000 to $9,000 over a 10-year period, which is a fabulous pivot point for them to not spend a whole lot of money like they would have going to college and actually make more money than compared to going to college in just 6 months. And we're just excited to be able to supply all these other ancillary services to get the client, men and women in the inner city, up to speed with these trade skills.
You know, Sherman, with you know, of course, I'm a welder since 10 years old, certified welding inspector, and you talked about MIG, TIG, and stick, and you know, we know they're slang words. And but the neatest thing with you, you've got the background, you've got the college, you respect people of all types, and then you're teaching them a skill. in six months, correct? 900 hours, I think you told
That's right. That's right.
You're,
that's correct.
I mean, you're giving them a skill that they're going to have. They're never going to starve because of what you're doing. And you're catering to the Mark Andles, my general welding. You know, I'm into food grade welding. I'm into the military work, the oil and mining for Halliburton, BP. The level now, you know, when I bring counselors and school teachers through, they think it was breaking rocks with a hammer. Stick welding is your original, but you're teaching them MIG and TIG and stretching. You're giving them the leading technology, something a Mark Andle is very, very interested in. And I'm so excited. That's why Larkin was so excited. I'm so excited because you're a breath of fresh air. You're hope, I told you. And you got a city block, plus you're building another facility, as you mentioned. So, where you're taking these people, and again, we were talking welding mainly with me, but auto and then manufacturing, it's everything I'm dreaming of. And I cannot find skilled trade workers. So you know how fast you're going to grow. You're talking about getting up to 4,500 a year. Coming to see you with my team. We know that. But
all right.
You know, just that virtual reality, just touch on a little more for the listeners. It's letting somebody sit in a booth, basically, and get the hand dexterity they need before they ever get to the table.
That's right. And this process was designed by us. We started designing this over 2 years ago. And what I found is the technology, computer technology, is no longer the speed that you need. Is no longer in the big machines, but they now put them on desktops, and also in the goggle wear, so to speak, that you would put over your face to be able to see the virtual world. And I can tell you, this is such a process that students, they have fun. It's fun to engage. It's safe. We teach them all the processes of safety, OSHA safety, when it comes to welding. We also train them on process and procedure. And it's a lot of fun. We're adding on currently math modules that people will be fun and engaging. Also blueprint reading, so when they go home, they can be practicing welding in their living room or the basement of their house, and or in the park. Have a lot of fun doing so. When they come back, they're so excited and to be engaged with everything. This the virtual world is. It's so amazing that, to be able to do things. I wish I had these tools when I graduated from college in 1982, believe it or not, because there would be a whole lot more to accelerated learning. And that's what you learn as in the engineering field, Mark, faster, better, and cheaper. You know, and what that means is when you have world-class products that are innovative, they'll be able to allow clients and customers to get to where they need to be, get the service they need, and to be able to just, for businesses to dominate the market. We're expecting this tool to be well over a $50 million product a year to the rest of the industry, for companies, for high schools and grade schools. You can start welding processes as early as, 4 or 5 years old.
Right.
We have curriculum that's tied into this, and we're excited. I mean, it's just something that really, the school could not do without, and many schools around the country can't get into a seat of a virtual world. The normal systems cost anywhere between $25,000 to $65,000. We can get a person in a seat in a virtual world and learn these heavy trade skills in a $1,200 or $1,400 package.
Wow.
And it's phenomenal. It's like a breakthrough in the industry.
Yeah, Sherman, I lead with quality with Made in America and General Welding. It's always quality, and I want to deliver quality parts, product, and service on time. That's what I live by. I drive my people every day. Customer doesn't care. I've got to deliver on time. And as well as I do, these welders are artists, and people don't realize I generally get to work that robots can't do, because robots can't do everything, and you need a babysitter with the robot, especially a welding positioner and robot, and I'm sure you've been around. These are artists you're producing. And if the quality is there, and there's such a high call right now, and they're going to make real good money, because the average age of a welder is between 60 to 70 years old. We know that. So, what you're producing is just unbelievable, and you're doing it in 6 months. So the time frame, you're reacting right now. A lot of the things we talk about on the show, I'm involved with T-Tech or Dream It, Do It, and these programs are going to take 4 to 6 years to produce somebody. You're doing it in 6 months.
And we're doing it 6 months, and we do all of our testing by AWS standards for petroleum standards if we're doing pipe, and be able to get our students certified. They go out with their certificates. They go out with you know, a polished resume that we help them work on. They also get interview building skills. We even bolted on as part of their professional development a finance program so that we can show people how to work their money when they get out for their best, building their own assets and taking care of their family, learning how to budget, also being able to invest, grow businesses, and make more in America. This is our theme. That's why when you guys called me, I was like, man, this is music to my ears. Made in America. And I like to send the people that come from other countries like Germany. And I have a lot of respect for the Germans, but we're sending them back home now.
you do so much, you've put so much into this. And I just think, you know, like the AWS training, American Welding Society, and when I see certificates like that, it's credibility that I can really, you know, lock onto as an owner looking for an employee. So what you're producing, you're answering, you've done your homework, and you know what we want. And that's yes. That's very exciting. I guess I'd like to open up, you know, right now to Rich, Rich or Mike, any questions you have for Sherman?
You know, Sherman, I want to ask you something. How many of the people that come to the school are, say, even have any knowledge whatsoever about the subjects you're about to introduce them to?
Very little. And Rich, that's one of the interesting things about our school. They know very little. They come into our school. This is probably the first coming out of poverty and deep poverty. You know, it's a different kind of atmosphere. It's the first professional building that they've come into. We show people what the environment is all about. We're very friendly. We're very customer friendly. We pride ourselves in making sure that people see us on our social networks. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and others, so they can see the success stories on how we get over 85% of our students hired. You know, we show them and explain we have a department of seven individuals that deal with employment, so that we probably have one of the largest databases in the country now of all the manufacturers, welding, and automotive places in the country. We're starting to deploy our students in places like California, Wisconsin, New York, Florida. I mean, the list goes on. Really large companies. Construction companies, manufacturing, and we'll buy material, whatever it takes, in order to qualify our students once they get through their certifications for the companies that they are going to go to work for. We love being able to go out and learn new things and anticipate what's actually coming down the pipeline in the supply chain of things, because people want that talent to grow. Number one thing that people always talk about in growth businesses, if I only had the employee, if I only had the talent, and oftentimes companies, it's kind of cumbersome for them to go out there and grab that talent. And what winds up being is that they wind up taking each other's talent pool, go to work for somebody, then they stop, go to work for somebody else. Well, this way we stop all that. We stop the changing of the seats. We get people employed. In careers, and the students, they absolutely tear it up, and they love what they're doing. They come back and share their success stories, and they actually teach us things, the new things in the industry that we need to know. In addition, we tell all of our students that, and some have come back, that they have a school for life. They no longer have to pay. Once you come through one program, you can come back for the rest of your life to get another certification, and it's free of charge. So, Rich, we, you know, it's a godsend for people in the inner cities. I met one of the companies. I traveled myself. I got on a plane and went to Wisconsin. And a company out there says, you know what? We need this out here. Could you open up another school? And I said, you know what? Once we expand and we expand and put the new building in place, I'll be coming to Wisconsin.
Very well. You know, Sherman, I'm besides impressed. When Larkin said you were a visionary, he certainly knew what he was talking about. You know, Sherman, for some years we've been continuing to hound the school boards throughout the country to restore the trades in the middle and high school so that students were able to do things for themselves after graduation and also maybe be prepared to do some skilled job after graduation if they weren't going into some profession. Well, being in welding or whatever, this is a profession. We have to give a new sense of credibility to all these trades because without trades, we're not going anywhere in the USA. As I mentioned earlier in the beginning of the show, things are happening in America. Businesses are investing in America. The biggest problem that they have is that there's not enough skilled workers for them to pull on.
Exactly. And you know, when you think about it, when I graduated from college in 1982, and I was so proud, I designed my first machine, a high-speed machine that I had an opportunity to do, and I had to take those blueprints down to our machine shop, which we had a machine shop. We had a luxury of having a huge machine shop. It was a 100,000 square feet machine shop. And I went down there with a knot in my stomach and thinking, like, wow, I got to have this thing built now? And what I found out very quickly when I went down to meet the shop supervisors and managers down there, that I had to humble myself to the fact that now this metal had to be cut and things had to be done precisely enough so that products were not moving out of place. Things were fitted up properly within three thousandths of an inch, that we had to be able to make sure that we had automated processes so that we could detect movement so that we didn't have any inspection in the process. We had automatic inspections in the process with vision systems so we can adjust our production specifications in real time. And we reduced waste something on the order of 75% of any waste that was coming out. And we actually reached that world-class number in that Six Sigma. It was just a phenomenal thing. And all the management of the company, they came down and see what we were doing. And they were like, look, just keep it up. Just keep doing what you're doing because this is helping us market our wares in a way that that nobody will be able to do what we do. And it's through technology that our country has become great. And we want to take this greater by utilizing the talent of the inner city, people all over the country, and using this as a model towards success. Because, you know, our city in Philadelphia will never be as great as it can be until the poor and the people in deep poverty are all they can be. I'm a real believer in that.
That is so true. You know, I've been saying two things, Sherman, and you have single-handedly addressed both of them. I've been saying these for years. If we really want to bring back Made in America, we have to rebuild a complete supply chain.
That's right.
You know, you don't build a toaster of all the component parts in that factory. You buy the housing somewhere. You buy the elements somewhere. So we have to build. We have to rebuild that supply chain. And you've said that term twice.
Right.
And it just makes me want to applaud. And the other thing is, there is only one way. There is only one single way to fix the crime and devastation of poverty.
Yes.
There's only one way, and you are addressing it.
Well, thank you. You know, you got to teach the people. You know, I'm a African-American from Philadelphia that learned that the only way you're going to be able to really move the needle in terms of your economic well-being, and that was the only way, is through education, learning, and getting into the right venue in order to do that, a nurturing venue. You know, when I wanted to, I got my GED, believe it or not. Long story short, I got my GED, and I scored high in math and science. Now, unbelievable, it was a shock and surprise to me that I would score one of the highest scores in the nation. And I didn't know I had that kind of talent. And that's the whole thing. You know, the theme is a lot of people don't know they have this talent. And you got to be able to show them where, how to develop that talent within themselves in order to do some great things for this country. Because, you know, we have a great country that we can be able to really excel far better than, you know, a lot of the countries that have utilized education as a competitive weapon, a competitive tool. And now with the ingenuity like yourself, Larkin, Mark, and others, you know, bringing that Made in America ingenuity back to this country and doing some wonderful things for families and the children of our society is just an incredible thing. I'm just so excited.
You know, Sherman, I want to tell you, I feel that dismantling the trade programs in America schools has been the biggest failure of school leaders over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. when you were graduating college in 82, many of those trade programs were still available in our schools.
That's right.
And it's very sad. I really think that dismantling those programs hurt tens of millions of America's young people in the last 30 years. And it also mm-hmm. put many of those people into poverty because we allowed the jobs to go overseas while our people were here sitting in poverty waiting for the next guiding light to come along.
You know, and it's surprising that that happened because, you know, we were very strong in trade skills years ago, not even 50 years ago. I did a study. And what I saw was that there was a drain in the talent, like Larkin said in the beginning of the program, of the talent and people retiring. And that talent was never replaced. Now you have people that were left behind that didn't know what actually to buy, to do, the next generation of new processes. So consequently, the school system left those trades up to the industry and the unions. Now, the unions have done a great job, but they can only do so much. You know, my father was a union man with the city, and I really believe in that. And I think one of the things that we just needed to do was be able to stop the drain, the talent drain of the people who would teach the schools. And consequently, more kids, you know, as the country started expanding population, more kids were coming into the school system. They needed more of a footprint, and they got rid of all those shops. And then emphasized, everybody got to go to college. Now, I don't have, as you know, I'm a Drexel graduate myself, and I would never talk anybody out of not going to college. But I can tell you one thing, that, you know, to be able to get into a good trade school, not everybody's going to go to college. There's at least a ton of people that when they go to college, they find out it's not for them. And what we've done, we'll be able to take those individuals, make them highly productive to society, to solve that crime rate problem in the inner city. You have to be able to invest in the population so they can take care of themselves. And that's a fact of the matter. We've had many people come out of institutions, returning citizens from jail and prison, and we've taught them, you know, all the bases. We have many of them that go into their own businesses, and I'm thinking of one gentleman in particular. His name is Rick. Rick, he's an entrepreneur. He developed his own company, and this man is making over six figures. Right after 3 months being out of our school. You know, it's just a wonderful event that have occurred. And, you know, dealerships hire our mechanics and other industries as well, manufacturing, because you still need people to maintain machinery, and that's what mechanics do. So we've enjoyed a lot of success in being able to reach out to the population, to nurture their stay with us in the school, to be able to know that this word, what we call love, has a meaning to it. And to recognize that as our Christian faith allows us to say, love ye one another as I have loved you. And that's just a beautiful saying to always keep into practice as we have built the school and as we reach out to our clients and be able to, do the things that we do.
Yeah. You know, Sherman, I have been asked, and I do speeches at different schools, to tell my story, and I never wanted to used to do it, not only with the Made in America store, but as I started as a director set kid. And like you said, the stigma that they give welders and workers and skilled trades in schools is terrible. The one-size-fits-all just doesn't work, and we all agree on the radio panel that we want to give kids and children a purpose again so they do stay out of trouble. But they need a chance, and they need a purpose, and they needed the schools to make it okay to work with your hands. They can't be, calculus in eighth grade is okay, but everybody's not made for it. So I've had some great, success with that, but now trying to get the metal shops, wood shops back in school. But it's that stigma that we have to get lifted. And lately, the counselors and guidance counselors, I talk to everybody, and they always point at parents, and parents have to make it okay, too. But you believe in the blue-collar, middle-class American. God bless you.
Yes, I do. Oh, thank you, man. And, it's one of those things, Mark, that is just a fiber of what happens. You can never come up with a concept, any kind of business concept, that you can't put on paper. And somewhere along the line, you got to cut some metal. And you got to weld it together.
Absolutely.
You got to bolt it together. Then you got to turn electrical systems and computers on.
Sherman, I'd like to introduce you to another member of our panel, Rich Logis. Okay. Rich, welcome our special guest, Sherman McLeod.
Thank you.
Hey, guys,
Rich.
Good morning to everyone, our audience. Sherman, thank you so much for being on the show. I wanted to tell you, I watched a video. It was from Sharp Vision. It was Sherman McLeod talks about moving mountains. I was listening to you on that that video there.
Oh, I'll see.
Yeah, as I was reading up on you, as I always like to just see your background when you're coming on the show. I know culturally there are many amongst us who think that if an idea was not introduced 6 seconds ago, that somehow there's no validity to it. But I kind of hold the old-fashioned belief that the key to raising people out of poverty is this very flawed, this beautifully flawed, imperfect system we have called capitalism, which is the worst system of commerce except for all the others. And so when I hear, here's my wishful, hopeful thinking prediction that in the course of the coming years that we are, you got people like you and Mark Andel, you guys are going to be there at the ground floor level for when we have the Made in America renaissance here in the nation. And we've got things that are made here. You know, Mark's great example of that. You're a great example of that. But as more items are made here, which will directly correlate to more jobs, some of which are overseas now that will come back, I expect that you guys are gonna be there as pioneers to further that the best way to raise people out of poverty is through work and opportunities that are created predominantly through the free market. And that sounds very simple, right? And it sounds great in theory. Of course, the hard part is trying to make that happen. But I do see that tide turning, and I really think it can be attributed in large part to what you and people like you guys, like you and Mark, are doing right now.
Thank you. You know, it's one of those things that for me, this is my dream job. I can tell you, I've always looked at the country from an engineering lens after I got out of school, and then I got deep into like, for example, when I worked for Johnson & Johnson Medical, deep into supply chain management and understanding what supply chain management demands and the quality specifications and everything else. So, I tend to look, and I'm sure Mark does and others, that the businesses, the whole country in one way or another is a supply chain. And in that supply chain, you must have the talent with the ideas in order to move these mountains out there, as you mentioned, that the award that I was given, I was really so pleased with that. Being African American in the country, to be able to help people in the inner city understand their problems, and then go out and help companies have a God-given right to the rest of the markets out there to make big profits and really make money, being able to take care of our country, our citizens, our nation, our military, et cetera. You know, it makes us a strong nation to be able to do that and not have, fundamental inertia around us. Our country is moving past that point, thank God, with the innovation of and getting this word out there like you guys are doing. It's just a wonderful thing.
Sherman, you are a visionary. I want to tell you something. You are a very special person. Larkin Connolly, thank you for introducing us to Sherman McLeod. Boy, this guy is unbelievable. Now, Sherman, I'm going to give you a special request. I want you to prepare to come and be with us again. I'm going to ask you to do something special, and that is, if you were running the school board in Philadelphia, what would you recommend to them about restoring the trades? That's going to be the next subject we're going to call upon you, because people like yourself, you're a mover and a shaker. You didn't wait for anybody. You took things on your own. That's something that's been lacking all over the USA. When you look at what's been happening in other countries, they're training their people in every technology possible, and our people are just passing through the schools to pass time. And that's very unfortunate.
Well, I'm looking forward to come back to the show and to be with you guys, because this is is more than just a mission. This is something, it's like in our DNA.
It's a movement, Sherman.
Exactly. It's definitely a movement.
Oh, it is.
Thank you.
You know, you should be on World News. Now, if I turn World News on and see Sherman on there tonight, I'm going to watch it for the next 10 months.
I want to make sure that everybody knows how they can check out Sherman McLeod on the Internet. Go to ptt.edu. PTT.edu. I'm going to ask Henry if he would link Beth from last week and Sherman on our front page, because this is what it's all about. All of us working together, we're going to have success. And that's very, very important. We have many people that are in political offices and this and that, and they're doing the best that they can. But if they're not people who've ever been in the industries, maybe they never had a trade class. They don't understand how much the young people are missing. Just the fact of a boy or a girl going to these trade program, the virtual tour you're speaking of, at least allows them to know what's going on, what their possibilities are. That's not happening right now in our schools. I've made some school visits, and more of the counties are starting to talk about we have to do something to reverse what we, canceled before. But it's going to need someone like yourself also speaking up and sharing ideas. You were unbelievable today. Larkin, I know you wanted to say something.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just really wanted to thank Sherman very much. I have, Sherman, a very, very short list of heroes in my life. But you have earned your way onto that list. I am so impressed with your altruistic volunteerism. I mean, to me is amazing. You could have a nice big fat cushy job at Johnson & Johnson, and here you are single-handedly, as far as I'm concerned, changing the demographic and the outlook of the city of Philadelphia. If we had 15 Sherman McLeods in Philadelphia, it would raise the city way above the rest of the country. It's what we need so desperately. I congratulate you, and I thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Larkin. And thank you guys for being here. This has been a godsend for me to be able to get the word out. I couldn't ask for anything better. You guys are just amazing. And, we're part of a DNA. And as Mark said, this is a movement now.
Sherman, we'll be sending out a copy of today's broadcast, and you'll see all the panel members and yourself there on that list. Make sure we get a good picture of you with the right DPI or whatever Henry is always saying it has to be. But sure. Everybody, you heard an unbelievable man today, and he took from nothing and made it into a great success. What Larkin told me in his email is this man is a visionary. You will really enjoy hearing him. I want to tell you, Sherman, you were unbelievable, and I'm going to ask our listeners once again to check you out on the internet by going to ptt.edu. Well, very final good. Remarks, everybody. It's, believe it or not, that hour went very quickly. Larkin?
Yeah, it's again, you know, thank you, Sherman. Thank you for what you do. I'm amazed that it took me this long to find you, but you haven't heard the last from the Made in America folks, and you certainly haven't heard the last from Mark and I, as we are already deviously planning our first trip to your shop. So,
well, I'm looking forward to that trip, guys. You know, you'll see a lot of activity, a lot of movement here, and just people doing a lot of exciting things. And thank you for sharing your ideas and concepts, because this has been amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear by the music, it's time for us to say farewell for today. We'll be back again next Wednesday at 11, and until this Saturday for our variety program at 11, I ask that you all spread the word about today's broadcast. Anyone from anywhere in the USA or around the world can listen to a broadcast or rebroadcast of today's show simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Sherman, thank you so much. Thank you, Mark, Rich, Larkin, Henry. Until we meet again or I see you in my travels, have a great day.
Thanks, Sherman. Thanks,
have a great
everyone.
Day, guys.
Thank
Sherman,
you, guys.
Welcome
thank
aboard.
You.